feel like the Lord has inspired me through the youth meeting to think about a young man in the scripture this morning. And but whether you're young or whether you've got a little age on you, you can get help from God's Word. You can apply this to your life. We should all apply it to our lives. For sake of reading, I just want to get on down into the Scripture in verse 21. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he be a man of war from his youth." And then for sake of time, I'll just stop reading right there. I think most of us are very familiar with this story, where David's brothers are, of course, a part of the armies of Israel, and they are standing in the valley of Elah, and the Philistine army is arrayed against the armies of Israel, and there's a champion of the Philistines that comes out every day and mocks them. His name is Goliath. He challenges them day after day. "Send a man, and if he conquers me, then we'll be your servants. But if I win, then you'll be our servants." And day after day, this Philistine, Goliath of Gath, this giant of a man, one of the last, I guess what you'd say, in the land, We know he had nephews that were giants. I don't know how many passed his family, but these men stood 10 foot tall. His spear was the size of a weaver's beam. His sword, unimaginably huge. This man, I mean, was massive above any of the men. Saul, the king of Israel, was head and shoulders above every man in Israel. Could not stand against this man Goliath, not as far as girth and height. He was a giant. He was a man of war from his youth. That's all he was trained to do, was just to be a man of war from the time he was young. But David comes out. He had heard, you know, that the army was there. His father, Jesse, had sent him to actually bring cheese and bread to his brothers and to the captain of the host. And so David doesn't know what's going on, and he finds out what's happening, and he says to them, "Don't worry." He said, "I'll fight with this Philistine. Let no man's heart fail." Verse 32 is what he said. "Let no man's heart fail. I will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And so what I want to preach about is this thought. I had thought about this thought. The young man on the way. The young man on the way. David, the only cause that Saul, the king, gave to him that he could not stand against this giant was that he was a youth. I can imagine that the devil tells our young people all the time, "Well, you're too young. You're young. You don't need to be involved in this. You don't need to, take the words that you're hearing in church as serious as the adults should. You're just a youth. You're not going to pray and turn this thing. You're not going to pray and bring revival. You're not going to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're just a youth. That's the only course of action that he had. You're a youth." He did not know David, did not know the life of David, nor the sincerity of David, that David's love for God. And I believe David had a love for God. David was sincere in his love for God. David was the man that when he was grown, that God said that he had a heart for God. And he was a man after God's own heart. And if you look back in this chapter, just a little ways, you see that a lot about David. You'll find out a lot about David. David was the son of that Ephrathite in verse number 12 of Bethlehem, Judah. You find his heritage coming from the book of Ruth. And his father, Jesse, he was the son of that love that you find there in the book of Ruth from Ruth and Obed. And so it tells us his heritage and his family. His family was a family that lived there in Bethlehem, Judah. They lived at the house of God. They lived at the place of bread. And David, he was a servant of Saul, and he served in Saul's house just even as a young man. But he had returned in verse 15 to feed his father's sheep. He still had duties at home. And he was glad to do those duties at home. He was not trying to escape his duties from home. He was very glad to be what he was in his father's house. He was the shepherd boy. And by the way, let me say this. David was a fantastic shepherd's boy. If he was going to be a shepherd boy, he's going to be the best shepherd boy that there was. I mean, he took not for granted the position that he was given, no matter how small. He was the least of the brothers. He was the youngest son. So it looks like they probably gave him, the job nobody else wanted. The one where he had to stay out at night with the sheep. He had to sleep with the sheep sometimes. He had to guard over them. It was a very lonely life. But David no doubt took that and turned it to his advantage. And he no doubt turned it to learn much about the great shepherd of the sheep. About the Lord being his shepherd. No doubt, David learned a lot in his youth as the shepherd boy. So he's keeping and feeding his father's sheep. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening. And David didn't know about this. He knew his brothers were gone, but he didn't know how the battle was going. There was no battle. Those men of Israel were stunned. They were just at naught. They were distraught. They were almost what you'd say paralyzed by fear. And Jesse said to David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses. That's a lot to carry. But David didn't say, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to carry all this? His father told him to carry it, and he was to find a way to do it. Listen, young people, whatever task it is that God has given you, don't fret as many people fret. Don't question and worry and wonder. It's part of faith and part of growing for you to grow into being able to find out some things on your own. To be able to pray and say, Lord, what should I do? Lord, where's my answer? Lord, what's the best way for me to accomplish this task? Small task. It may seem like a small task, but yet it is a task. And it's something that must be done. And David had to watch the sheep, but now he had to take this corn and this cheese, all of these things to his brethren. What is he to do? Did he ask Jesse, what am I supposed to do? I've got sheep to tend. I can't go. If I go, the sheep there, well, who's going to watch them? He took the responsibility upon his shoulders to make sure everything was taken care of the way that it should be taken care of. He did not forget about the sheep, and he did not forget about his brethren. He's going to find a way to do both. So David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. He found someone, not just anyone, somebody that was known as a keeper of sheep. Someone that he knew would guard his sheep well. That's what a keeper is. Somebody that the shepherd could get some rest or needed refreshment or whatever that it was. Somebody that he could call on that he knew about shepherding. Many times these keepers were other shepherds, other shepherd boys, and they knew what to do. Listen, you can't hand your responsibility off to someone that doesn't know about the responsibility. Well, I left it in their hands. And listen, if you're responsible, totally responsible, then all that happens under you, you're responsible for. If you leave your sheep with another keeper, then you need to be the one to make sure that keeper knows how to keep sheep. That your sheep are going to be kept. That they're not going to be harmed. That they're not going to be hurt. Parents, listen, that's the way we are with our children. Listen, it is our job to shepherd our sheep. If we leave our children in the hands of someone else, they should know how to keep children. How you keep children. Amen. David, no doubt, he had a specific way of guarding his sheep, keeping his sheep. And but he left him. He left him and he took and he did and went as Jesse had commanded him. He had made the commands of his father Jesse the priority. What the Father has commanded me, that will I do. I'll do everything he asks. No matter how hard it may seem, I'll find a way. That's part of maturity. That's part of growing. Amen? And so he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for battle. It all sounds like war. But up to this point, there is no war. You know, there's a lot of people that sound like they're fighting, but they're not really fighting. They've not swung one blade. They make a lot of noise, but they're not really fighting. Listen, part of the war is to actually fight. That's part of what you're in the army for. It's to actually stand against somebody. Amen. It's to put your life out there because you are a soldier. Amen. A good soldier. The Bible talks to us about being a good soldier, doesn't it? And so he goes out and he hears them shout for the battle. And for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. They put it in a row. They set it in order. They arranged it. You've ever watched any of these like old movies, King Arthur or any of that, you see where they've got these, they look like the poorer men with hoes and forks and whatever else up front. Those are the ones they feel like they'll send in first to see what the other army does. And they feel like they are disposable. But then behind them is a stronger army. And they have shields and swords and armor. And then behind them, there's the arrow men that may step up or step back. And so they're arrayed. They're set in order as the king sees how the battle should go. They've got it all laid out. They've got a plan, but they're not executing the plan. Listen, if they had a plan, execute the plan. Don't let the devil determine how the battle's going to go. As soon as that Philistine walked out there in the middle and challenged, I'd have had every one of my arrow men put an arrow in him. He's not going to tell me how we are going to fight the battle. God will tell us how to fight the battle. Amen? And so there they were. They were sounding, looking like they're going to war, but they're not at war. David had brought everything his father Jesse. How did he do it? Well, he left the sheep with a guard, a keeper. And then David, the Bible said, verse 22, left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. He used that carriage to pull everything that his father, that's how he traveled. Whether it was a small carriage, I don't know how, but it was big enough for him and the supplies that his father sent. And he brought it in. And you know who he left it with? Not just anybody, but a keeper of carriages. somebody that checked the wheels, somebody that would check all the links, whatever it was, if it was a donkey or a camel pulling, I don't know, whatever that it was, that, I mean, everything. This keeper of the carriage made sure this carriage was ready to roll again. Somebody to watch over it. Somebody to make sure someone else didn't steal it. It was in his hands. David didn't just drive up and park it somewhere and hitch it to a tree. He got somebody because it was an investment. It was his father's investment. And it meant something. And he was going to bring it to them and he was going to bring it back to the father. So now he had talked there with him. He came in, ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked, behold, there came up the champion, Philistine of Gath, Goliath. And out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words David heard them for the first time. What he had been saying for 40 days, David heard those words. Now, is there not another man in Israel that could stand? But this boy, a youth, comes in and hears what he says. He sees the two armies set in array. He sees the giant come out. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's doing anything. And somebody said, "Have you seen this man?" I guess I'd probably say that too. Have you seen this man that has come up? I'm right at 6 feet. Right here is about 8 feet. Think about two more feet on up there, top of that guy's head. He looks like he's twice my size. He's probably twice as wide. His hands are twice as big. Arms twice as long, twice as round. Legs twice as long. Are you listening? Standing. Have you seen this man? This enemy that stands before us is great. Looks massive. Everything you see about him tells you that's a warrior right there. Tells you that's death walking. That's what they were thinking. How could anybody stand against a man like that? They said, well, if a man killed him, the king would enrich him, the king would give him his own daughter to marry, and the king would free his father's house. David said, what will the king give? They told him again. His oldest brother didn't think that he was there serious. He accuses him of naughtiness and pride. Eliab, in verse number 28, when he had heard David conversing with the men. You see, but listen, he ought to have been ashamed of himself that his little brother is actually considering how to beat this man. Here he is, the eldest brother, and he hadn't said nothing. He hadn't stepped up. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to come running. Youth, it may be you that needs to come and step up to the plate. All God is looking for is somebody with faith. Somebody that'll quit looking at the size of the giant and start looking at the size of God. David, while he's being mocked, while his brother says, I know your naughtiness, your badness, as marring wickedness. Like David had, you know, pulled tricks on him before. He made David out like he was a bad son. And he was an arrogant, proud. Maybe it was that David had just come in many times from the sheep and said, Father, I saved the sheep today. And the brothers took it as pride. He's just wanting to tell the story. Whatever it was, his brother thought he was filled with pride and naughtiness. And David said, what have I now done? In other words, I've not done anything here. I've just come here, brought the cheese, brought the corn. You're the one been standing here for what have I done? Is there not a cause for somebody to say something? Is there not a cause for somebody to stand against him? Is there not a cause because of what he has said? Is there not a cause? Well, one of the greatest messages that preachers probably have ever preached from that thought, is there not a cause? There is a cause for faith. There is a cause to fight. There's a cause for a fighter. A youth to come running and saying, what can I do? I know there's a cause. What can I do to put my hand in the cause? And he turned from him. And he spake after the same manner. And the people answered him after the same former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. They told the king, he's a young man over here. Can you believe that? David looked at the king and said, I'll go fight him. You can't. I've been told before, you can't. When everything in me, God's telling me, you can and you will. I've had people look at me and say, "You, no way you can. There's no way you can. I can if God wills. If God wills it, I can. You may look at me. You may look at me. David was a ruddy youth. This man was a massive giant, a man of war. No way can you do that, David. People are looking by sight and not looking by faith. Saul said, thou art not able to go. You're but a youth. David said to Saul, listen, he wasn't going to take no because he knew in his heart what God had done for him. David began to rehearse the story. He said, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion. And all the studying I could do just from right here, even right here where David said how he had grabbed him by the beard at the end of verse 35, says that this was an old lion. It wasn't a whelp. It wasn't no little young lion just being mischievous, grabbed a sheep. This was an old hunting lion. The beard says he's old. And this bear, it wasn't a bear cub. God knows the difference in a bear and a bear cub. bears that would come out, like that mother bear that slew those children that mocked Elijah. That kind of bear. Come out and hit with one paw. And he said, I slew. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, verse 36. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Not just because he's a Philistine, not because he's a giant, not because I'm some great fighter, but because he has defied the armies of the living God. He said he took a lamb out of the flock. This lion came in and picked this thing out. Maybe he saw that it was weaker. That's the way they do. That's how they hunt. Wolves, cougars, lions, they see a weaker one. And that's the one they're going to go for. There's something about seeing that weakness that makes them want to pounce. More on that one than any of the other ones. And that's exactly the way Satan is. He sees a weak one among us, and that's the one he wants to go to. That's the one he wants to get a hold of. Why? There's not much of a fight. Most of the time he can carry them off, devour them. Nothing's to be done. But David went after him. The Bible said, I went out after him, verse 35. David took the hunt to the hunter. That's how David looked at it. I'm going to go hunt this thing down that hunted out my lamb. And he went and he smote it, which means he took his staff, the staff that he has, the same staff that he walked back in verse 40, he took the staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. That's exactly how David went out for the lion and the bear. Nothing more. And his staff is for walking and striking. Listen, this word, you know what it's for? It's to help you walk, but it's also a sword to strike. Amen. That shepherd's bag is an artillery bag. That scrip that he brought, he's kept rocks in it many a time. The best he could find. When he went to that brook, he came to pick out the smoothest ones he could get his hands on fastest. That which was available. But he came and he took that aged lion and killed him, and that bear, and smote him and slew him. And he told him the story. I slew them. And I took that lamb out of his mouth. I delivered it, he said in verse 35. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out, which means he saved it alive. Saved it alive. It wasn't dead. He saved it alive. That's something that a shepherd could get a lamb back from a lion that came and took it. I mean, listen, he came and took it to eat it, to kill it and to eat it. Which means David was pretty fast at getting to where that lion was. He knew there's no way he could give him an hour. He had to be ready. You give a lion an hour, he's going to eat that lamb and be gone. He could not give him time. We cannot waste time with the enemy. You cannot give the enemy time, any time. You cannot give him a foot. You cannot give him any edge. Something must be done now. There's a cause. That Philistine in David's mind should have been dead 40 days ago. He wasn't going to wait another day. Why did David need to wait another day? He fight him the day that he showed up. What about that? David, maybe you heard a rest. You know, your journey. He's standing out there. It's like he's got the lamb in his mouth. That's what David's thinking. There's an enemy standing there defying the armies of the living God. I'll go out there right now. That's what he did. They tried to put things on him, armor, and give him a... Listen, child of God, listen, young people. What you learn as a shepherd boy that you need, don't ever let anybody make you think you need more than what's been given you. People's told me, you know, if you slow down a little bit and you're preaching and you change your music, Brother Tim, he's dealt with all that this week. You know, if you get a few of these worldly tactics and, you know, shine things up a little more, you could do a lot more. David said, I'll keep my staff, I'll keep my sling, I'll keep my bag. That's all I need. That's all I need. That's all I need to do what needs to be done. If it can't be done with that, listen, because it's not in my hand that it's going to be done. It's going to be done. David told him, he said, you come out against me with a sword and a shield and a spear. I'm coming to you with a sling. He didn't say it. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God. I'm coming to you in the power of God. He knew the power of God was what, who helped him. What was used when he knew a young man. Listen, it's not just in a young man to slay a lion, normally, or a bear. When David said, I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. He arose against me and I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. You'll find in the interpretation of that, I was looking all that up, it looks like God strengthened him. Like Samson was strengthened. God gave David more strength to do what he needed to do. I'm not saying God turned David into a Samson. I'm saying God gave him more strength to grab that thing up by the beard as a youth and smite him. What amazement. You can, young people, listen, be used of God with the power of God flowing through you. You can do what David did. He come to deliver. A young man coming to deliver the armies of Israel. To be a testimony for the God of heaven. To be a testimony to his family. You read where David's intervention with the Philistine from 41 down to 47. And in verse 48, it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. Look at this. That David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David ran toward. Look at verse 51. Therefore David ran. See, when he was running toward and he ran upon him, when others were running away, others were backing up, David, when it started, took off straight toward his enemy. Now he's in a run in verse 48, and David put his hand in his bag. This is while he's running. Took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. You know that David prevailed? Valiant victory. Could you imagine seeing that young man running across that field? And all of a sudden from his side comes a sling and a stone like a rocket. And watch that giant. Bam! What an amazing picture. The defeat of the enemy. You think, that? Listen, David never doubted. He knew, he told him, he said, I'm going to deliver your head today. After Goliath said the same to him. Tried to put fear in him. Tried to cause doubt in him. David believed his God. So he prevailed over the Philistine, verse 50, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. He killed him without a sword. He didn't need it. Didn't need what Saul thought he needed. He didn't need what others thought he needed. All he needed, what he was familiar with, was what God gave him as a shepherd boy. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The enemy had no more fight in them. Gone. Men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. The faith of David charged the rest of the armies of Israel. They were so joyed by the faith of David that they now had in them fight and belief that they could defeat the rest of the army. What you do when you live for God, how you overcome with faith, how you help others of God's people is a testimony and will strengthen others. Many of us here, we have testimony that's made us stronger. Why? Because we saw someone else do something great for the Lord. Amen? You can do something great for the Lord today. I want you to stand.